want you guys to know, not only is it early in the morning, but I have to walk my arthritic knees down 16 flights of stairs for you.
Well, because you couldn't get the elevator.
You take the elevator.
Yeah. No, the elevator was stuck. And then I was like, seriously, at like freaking 5:30 in the morning, the elevator stuck? This is some BS.
Mate.
And Ewan's like, where the F you at?
I'm
like walking down the damn steps.
No, you should have got in the elevator that was stuck, and you should have done the entire show from the elevator, because that would have been cool.
That would have been cool.
While you were watching yourself nearly try and pee yourself. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big Apple news that has gone on this week. Sorry that we... Did we miss last week? We did, didn't we? No, we didn't.
No. Just Jeff and...
I've lost track of time. I've slept since then.
I understand how you could think we didn't do a show last week.
Oh, there was just the two of us, that's right. Just the two of us. And Muller. Yeah, but you didn't count, you didn't talk. A little bit, okay. Big news of the week, of course, in Apple, is that Apple's Vista moment has finally reeled in Muller. Because the hypocrite went and bought a frigging MacBook Pro. Absolute. Here he is. He sat here. Absolute hypocrite. Slagging Apple off, saying how crap their stuff is and how expensive it is. And he's gone off and bought a MacBook Pro. Shame on you.
Mind you, Windows 98 was going to fail at some time, wouldn't it?
It did, 95.
Joining me to discuss...
Well, maybe 3.1.
The week in Apple. Starting us off, top left, Doc, how the devil are you, pal?
Oh, my goodness. I am happy to be back. I am happy to not be coughing. Well, a little bit. I still have some in there, but I'll try to mute it when it comes. Literally, for a month, I have been vetching like, oh, God, I can't even explain it. I pulled back muscles from coughing. My abs are so sore. It looked like I've been doing sit-ups for every day.
Yeah.
It was dumb, but benefit, I probably lost like 20 pounds.
No, Sharon's been coughing, and she's got the stage where she's got abdominal pain. She's coughing so hard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, bro. It was really, really silly. And what's so funny is my aging mother has dementia. But in her old Korean lady wisdom, she remembers to bitch at me for not getting a flu shot. And I never got flu shots. I hate them. And then I got sick. She's like, see, told you. And then like 2 seconds later, she doesn't remember what we talked about, but she can remember to bitch me out about not taking the flu shot.
I've had it for the last 3 years, and it's the best thing I've ever done. It means I work constantly without having a bloody cold. Next to him, it's Jeffrey. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right. I have not been coughing. I have not been stuck in elevators. My back muscles seem to be fine. My mother's not giving me a hard time, although I did have to put pants on. And so that kind of ruins the whole morning.
We need to get a jingle for this. It's Denver Snow Watch. Is there snow? No, you're not Denver. I know, Boulder. But is there snow where you are?
Yes.
Wow. First snow of the year.
It's maybe an inch, and it's snowing very lightly right now. So, yes, snow.
Excellent, mate. Boulder Snow Watch.
Highland is closer to Denver.
Boulder is about 40 minutes to downtown Denver.
Okay. That's close enough.
Not too bad.
I drove across Houston for 70 miles to play a golf course called the Houstonian. So you guys have no concept of distance at all.
Nope.
Yeah, everything in Texas is crazy far apart.
We've got a Texas story as well coming up. Underneath Jeff, it's Patrice, our German in Arizona. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. It is actually raining here and has been raining here. We actually got like probably also an inch of snow yesterday, at least up north where my boss is.
Right.
So it is crazy here right now.
Blimey. Global warming in action.
Yes.
Our other Denver man is also around. Steve Sandy, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. And here it's not snowing.
Excellent.
Go figure.
Yeah. Have you had any snow this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
More than last year, thank God. Last year was like dry. Really dry.
Excellent. But, any cruises on the horizon? Have you got a cruise coming up there?
Let's see. About another 3 or 4 months.
I hate you.
That's too long.
Yeah, it is.
And last but by no means me, in the middle of much Wenlock, it's Jamie Boy Rickards.
Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to be back. It's been 2 whole weeks since I've been on the old Skype. It's lovely to be here and see all your lovely shiny faces.
Are you practicing your soft, luscious Udemy voice for your courses there?
And welcome to Udemy.com. I'm James, and your trainer for the next 25 hours. No, I'm not. Hey, it's paying the rent, so I'm not going to moan about it. Yeah, things good. Yes, it's lovely to be back. It's good. I'm 11 pounds lighter than I was last time you saw me.
Good lad. Well done.
So I'm working hard. As Ewan keeps getting thinner every time he turns on the bloody camera.
Yeah, I've done, what have I done now? 5 stone, so 70 pounds.
Whoa. Mate, proud of you, man. That's good.
Yeah, I'm happy. It's all right. The week in Apple, all the shiz that's gone on, the stuff that's happened. I am never, ever going to complain about Apple's prices again, because this week Samsung unveiled a $2,000 folding smartphone. 4.6 screen on the front and 7.3 screen when you bother to open it out into its foldableness, mate. That's fine. Apple's price is 1,200 quid for an iPhone. It's perfectly good. Apple has also given developers $25 billion worth of App Store revenue, which is stunning. And the last one is that Apple have confirmed that Tim Cook is giving the commencement address at Stanford, which should be an absolute riot. I suggest, Tim, I suggest that if you want to make it worthwhile, then bring a launch of a phone along to that, because otherwise no one's going to be watching. They're all going to be asleep at the end of it, I reckon.
Yeah, most commencement speeches
not,
are
not boring. The Stanford kids. The Stanford kids are the hardest studying cats in America.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they are hardest studying.
Means they need a lot of sleep, right?
No. But I'm just saying, because they're the nerdiest of all, I mean, of all the college, okay, like, so Harvard is, you got there because your parents or your bloodline. But, like, Stanford, those are the actual smart kids, you know? And that's always been the complaint, is because the Ivy League schools get all the props. But really, Stanford is probably our smartest school in this country. You know, because it's not as much blue blood. It's not as much blue blood effort, you know?
You got to show you work in here, mate.
Those kids are nerd. Yeah. You go to Stanford to work. I think those kids are nerdy enough and smart enough that they'll probably stay awake. And also, he's a Silicon Valley guy. So, like, that's their hood, you know? So they're, like, repping the homie, so to speak.
So Tim's going to give his commencement address with his cap sideways.
Oh, dude, you never seen Tim? He did some rap battle thing not that long ago at one of the Bay Area schools, and it was kind of funny. Like, people made fun of his epic whiteness
and slinging a 9 as well.
Yeah, and not at Stanford. They can redirect the satellite at your house and pop popcorn in your crib.
Well, I know in my heart of hearts that Tim will not be busting chops there, mate. I'm afraid it's there we go.
If he is wearing a baseball cap, he might be Make America Great Again red one.
those aren't the proper headlines. Those are the ones that were just easy to take the piss out of. Proper headlines. Apple is closing stores in the Eastern District of Texas in order to fight against patent trolls. I haven't got a clue, because apparently you can only sue for a patent incursion in the district where the company has its predominant business. So they've got three. There's a little map here. Look, if I scroll up. Eastern District of Texas, there's Apple Stonebriar, Apple Willow Bend, and Apple Galleria Dallas, which is a future one. And if you notice, the ones that are currently there are in Eastern District, and then they've just hopped it over kind of the border to the Galleria one, because Eastern District is where they get a lot of the patent trolling.
Yeah, that smart. Court is a favorite for patent trolls.
So how does that work, Jeff? Because I don't understand trolling in the sense of
Okay, so this Eastern District, which is a federal court district, the judges there have a track record of favoring patent trolls.
Right.
And so, excuse me, for people that aren't sure what I mean by patent troll, these are companies that buy up or acquire patents, and they don't actually produce any products or use these patents to produce products. They simply amass patents and then use those as a revenue generator by either strong-arming companies into paying licensing fees, like high licensing fees, or they sue companies for patent infringement. And so their whole revenue generation model is based on essentially suing companies for mm-hmm. patent infringement. So they love it when they can file a case in that Eastern District in Texas, because they know the odds are in their favor.
Yeah, no, the thing, I mean, there's a point here from Deep Pan in the chat room, and he's saying, isn't it one of the easiest places in the country for patent cases? Yes, it is. But the key part is that you can only sue in a district where there is a predominance of business, isn't there? So if Apple move out of there, it just kills all the patent trolling because they can't. I mean, if you live in those places, then tough. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get your MacBook fixed. But, I mean,
yeah.
The question yeah, as well has got to be how big that border is. Because, I mean, there's a little tiny gap here between the three of them, but actually that's probably about like 1,000 miles, isn't it, if that's Texas?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they're probably in different time zones because yeah. Texas is so big.
So for those of you looking there, you can get England inside or Britain inside Texas three times, four times. That's stupid.
Wow.
That, isn't it?
So, that's a big old place.
Yeah, you're talking about the difference between getting your MacBook fixed in Manchester and getting it fixed in Inverness.
Mm.
So Inverness is lenient on patent trolls, so you're going to have to go to Manchester. Figure that one. Nah.
Why are you
going to
Manchester?
Well, you're a Manchester United supporter, so you've got a reason to go there and get your MacBook fixed.
Yeah, but I would go to Inverness so I can say I went to Scotland and not visit Paul.
Well, he doesn't live in Inverness for a start. No.
Huh?
He doesn't live in Inverness.
I said so I could go to Scotland and not visit Paul. Not He's visit a Glaswegian, Paul. Right?
That's right. Well done, mate. Glaswegian, good on, word. Good
I've been
word,
doing man. This for like 5 years.
You're
man.
A man what of... You're a man of... well-read van, mate. Well-versed.
At least I didn't say he was a glasshole. That would have been just jacked up.
Is that a real word? Have you learned that from?
That's what
what the,
bit of slang
that's what people using Google Glass were called.
But... Oh right, okay.
No. Craig Ferguson once used it talking about people from Glasgow. He said they are glassholes because in the U.S. we say masshole for people from Boston.
Right. Okay. Discuss, this is a great story, only came out a couple of days ago, 16-inch MacBook Pro rumored, 6K Apple display, Air Power, AirPods 2, and more predicted for 2019. Forget all the rest, because that's utter bunkum. I want to know about a 16-inch MacBook Pro, and so does Magic Man, who's not watching anymore, because he and I both love the 17-inch MacBook, mm-hmm. and I really seriously, to this day, miss my 17-inch MacBook Pro. So would a 16.5-inch MacBook Pro satisfy the 17 lovers and not piss off the 15 lovers?
It's all about
I think so. I was going to say, I think so because of the way, you know, pixels and display bezels and all of that stuff are now. 16.5-inch is almost what the 17 was in reality, I guess, so to speak. Yeah. And then, you know, you're looking at the resolution now is basically 4x what it used to be. So yeah, but I think in the same token, we have come so far from wanting to carry around a portable desktop that this thing would have to be like a pound and a half in order to, you know what I'm saying? And I think what that will do is it will make it crazy expensive, or it will seem flimsy, because the dope part about the 17 wasn't big, but it felt like a tank. Like, you know you were working when you were using the thing. I missed the hell out of my 17, but I'm not paying four grand for a laptop just because it's bigger.
The current 15 inches, I think 15.4, if they do 16, that is probably just reducing the bezels, like taking the current form factor and reducing the bezels and keeping everything as it is. So if you look at the iPhone and the iPad, what they've done there, it's exactly that. So it might not look any different than the current generation MacBook Pro, just have less bezels on the display side.
Because but you said that's what happens. It's a whole inch bigger. It's 16 and a half.
As I said, if you look at what they did with the iPad Pros, I think that is within like reason. I mean, I would have to do the math to see how many pixels that would add on a 4K display.
I'll get your point here,
if you reduce the bezels, but I would say it's possible.
So I get your point here, Patrice, and I think this is a good one. Was the 17-inch MacBook Pro actually 17-inch viewable? Or was it just the size of the screen?
No, it was 16.9. It was 16.9.
Oh, okay. Right, so near enough,
yeah.
So what we're saying is we can keep a 15-inch form factor and get a 6... No, you can't. Yeah, you can keep a 16-inch form factor and get a 16.5 viewable.
Correct. Yes, because you just decrease the bezels, and there are still, I'm looking at my MacBook right now, there are still... there's some space left that you could use.
So we're going to go to...
So measure it. Well, somebody measure it. Three of you guys are sitting there looking at one.
No. So we've got our new Mac user here in the studio. Muller. Have a look at your screen. How much is bezel and how much is up to the edge? Great mic technique, mate.
I've got about 10 millimeters on the either edge. At the top, I've got probably just about 15 millimeters. At the bottom, there's very little, probably about six or seven.
Fair enough. There we go. Yeah. There's a bit to be had. Who's got something running?
That isn't me. Somebody's sharpening a knife somewhere.
It's got to be Sandy.
Sandy stuff to sharpen my blade while I'm here.
Yeah, Steve has this thing where he likes to grind up the bones of his enemies.
Okay, it's not Steve.
I was going to say, I think the big question is, though, Ewan, is it a glossy screen or is it a nice matte screen you'd be going for?
Well, you see, now there we go, because my old 17-inch was a glorious matte screen that was...
What's it?
But you could mention you could use it in an office and not see the person on the desk behind you.
Yes. Yeah.
I really miss the matte screen a lot.
The matte screen.
I know who we are.
I get why people do glossy screens, but the matte screen was significantly better for productivity. Come on, Apple.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That was so good. Does anybody sell the matte sticker anymore? Remember 3M used to have like the little things you can stick on? I haven't seen those in a minute.
Well, 3M do the 3M do the one that's the privacy screen. Where it's got the lines down it, so when you go like 15 degrees out of line, you can't see anything. So, but that dims the display horribly.
A lot, the lady has one on her phone and it drives me nuts.
Muller's new one is glossy. So, yeah, we knew that. They weren't going to go backwards, are they? The thing is, Apple are never going to get away from using the glossy screen because it does look good when it's switched off. Well, no, actually, it looks better when there's something on it, but when you've got other light sources, it looks crappy. And then the other problem is when you switch it off, it looks like you're giving birth to it.
I love my Mac.
It's not even an iPad. Oh, the screens are lovely. I mean, the Retina display is excellent, so I'm not going to say that. But the thing is as well that I think they've probably terminated themselves as far as resolution goes on laptops. They're not going to go super pro high-def Retina Shazam, are they? So they're going to have to do something with the screen to make it more relevant and get an extra stat out of it as a sales pitch. So going to 16.5 does a lot of things in terms of satisfying the 17 lovers, and also raising the spec so that people feel like they're getting more for the buck. Mm-hmm. No?
Yep.
No, not very talkative this week, fellas.
What's that?
You're not very talkative this week.
Hey, I've been busy.
Well, do you know what? It's that thing about rumors, though, isn't it? Let's face it. Yeah. It's all, isn't it?
I feel like I'm the ox on the cart.
I think I think we should talk about this blimmin' Samsung foldable screen. I think that's amazing. I love that.
Well, no, because Apple have registered a patent, haven't they, for a foldable screen?
Yeah, but this is why I've always liked Samsung, because obviously these have been around in science fiction worlds and things like that for a long time. And what I do love about Samsung, yeah, that their operating system's pretty naff and, you know, it's never a well-designed piece of kit. But when you saw that, I just thought, wow, that is something I would actually love. And they're not scared of building these things now, are they? They just throw all their technology at something and go, yeah, we're going to make this work. I know MKHB, who was at the event, the Samsung 10 event, said he wasn't allowed to photograph it, pick it up, touch it or anything, which obviously speaks volumes for the actual product as it stands right now. But I think it's such an interesting product. And when they actually show you it close up, you couldn't really see the join where it actually folded, because I was really looking really hard at the video. Anybody's watched the video of them folding it up, I think it looked really good. And I reckon, was it 200,000 times you can open and close it, which works at about 100 sort of times a day that you'd open it, lasting for about 5 years.
Yeah, but the thing is, at £2,000, mate, I'd want that foldy bit to flap and actually carry me away on holiday as well for £2,000.
Yeah, it also needs to make you breakfast in the morning.
The joke that I heard about it.
Go on.
Sorry, the joke that I heard about it that I thought was super awesome is those of us that grew up in the Bakelite phone era, which is basically all of us bar Patrice, you would finally get the satisfaction of being able to hang up someone on the cell phone again. So you can be like, what the, man? F you, spank.
And yeah, clap.
You hear the audible hanging up. So that's the only reason why I would want that. But like, it's just, right now, you don't have that. Kids today don't know what it feels like to just click someone because there's no noise.
It's just, it's Samsung shutting up all the Americans who are missing their flip phone and their Razer V3. It's the truth.
I can totally buy that, yeah.
That's it. That's what it is. Jordan in the chat room has put Samsung folding phone, so now it's got two batteries that can explode.
That's funny. Nice.
And Deep Pan has measured. He's got his ruler out and stopped measuring what he was measuring and has started measuring his MacBook Pro, and he said his MacBook Pro 15-inch has 16.7 inches available diagonally on the frame, so a 16.5 with a small bezel could be possible in the current form factor. There we go. So Patrice is absolutely on the money.
Yeah, so maybe we will be seeing a bezel-less Mac the first time ever.
Oh, I've had a thought because you could letterbox it a little bit as well, because don't forget, you've got to get your eyesight camera in the top, so you might have to letterbox it to get the 16.7 to draw out across.
So, or it could be behind the glass, like the new Samsung thumb sensor reader thing. It's all getting very nice technology-wise, and it's all getting very toasty.
You might get the notch as well.
Expensive.
Well, yeah, I think we're used to this, aren't we? We're used to paying the prices, unfortunately.
Not paying £2,000, mate. If Apple put their next phone up to £2,000, they can go swivel.
I think that would be the opposite. I think what we're going to see with the iPhone is a drastic increase in the price. I really do. They've got to, you know. I have discussions all the time with people, you know, friends and family always ask me about the new iPhone XR, a bit like you guys, you know about technology, and your families will ask you questions about it, and or just friends in general. And, you know, it's one of those things that the phones are just so good now. You can't really buy a bad one, can you? Let's face it.
Deep Pan saying he didn't measure it, it's just trigonometry. With a bit of help from Bob Beach. Pythagoras.
Yeah, Jordan is asking whether they would finally bring touch to this MacBook Pro, and I'm saying no.
No.
I can't see Apple doing it. I don't know why, because I think it would be absolutely awesome, but I can't see him doing it.
Because I still have a problem as an OCD person, like with fingerprints on screens. I still don't want to touch the damn screen. And I guess the reason why it's so crazy and obnoxious to me is sitting right here on the floor. One second. I have this quite expensive yoga book, and literally within about 2 months after having it with the little, like, you know, capitulating screen and all the touchy, the screen just does the dumbest stuff. It's been sent back and forth to Lenovo like 4 times. They can't fix it. They ended up giving me a whole brand new computer, and I said, I want anything except your touchy, flippy, bendy piece of crap. So, I mean, this is fully loaded, like i7 with a high-end NVIDIA card and the whole 9 yards. And all it did was create trouble. And I'd never even touched the screen. I still used the mouse and it broke. So I don't want Apple to get into it until they can perfect it. But everybody I know that has touchscreen PCs have issues with the touchscreen.
Yeah.
The digitizer. So I don't know. I don't want Apple to go anywhere near it until it's fully baked.
Well, is that a design issue?
Then again, you have your iPad and your iPhone. You touch all day and you don't care.
Yeah.
Well, no, so that's my point. Is that a technology issue, or is that a poor design issue, or is that a device issue? Because it does work on the MacBook just perfectly. On the iPad just perfectly. So there's no reason that a screen can't work.
I think the reason why, and again, this is just me throwing, you know, darts at the dark. The reason why is the iPad does not fold. The iPad doesn't have a hinge, so there's no ribbon cablery that goes with the little yoga twisty, like downward dog facing laptop BS, which allows that cable to come loose or whatever the heck it does. And it's been back and forth 5 times, and it's like, oh no, the cable's fine. But yet every time it comes back, it starts. If I turned it on right now, you guys would crack up because the screen just does this all day long. It's just ridiculous. And that's like a $2,000 yoga book. So I think the reason why the iPad and the iPhone are good is because you're not, you know, folding it and twisting it. But in the laptop format, every time you open and close it, that's where it is. And James will tell you, because he's an ex-genius too, we replaced inverters like we changed underwears. You were forever replacing inverters in various notebooks, because that is a point of failure in any hinged device.
Yep.
James wasn't a genius. He was a creative, mate.
Whatever, but he was in the room, so he watched us all scream. And
I had to do my 6-month stint, just like everybody else. Awful business.
Exactly, because you're not a genius. Yeah,
I'm definitely not a genius, mate.
When
I'm happy to say,
Max, I was a creative.
I turned customers' photographs black and white, as I used to tell people. That was my job.
For me, the answer is very simple to that. Or actually, there are two answers. One is macOS is not set up for it, and I don't think it should, and it ever will. And two is Apple already has a device, and that's the iPad. So, like that need is solved.
There's a point here from Bob in the chat room. He's saying wrong, Doc, and he typed it within like a second of you saying it. So he's obviously on flash. Wrong, Doc. The touchscreen on the Surface Pro is faultless. Now, is the Surface Pro an intelligent connection, or is it a hinged ribbon to the keyboard? Because it's a separate, isn't it separate like the iPad?
Yes.
Yeah, the keyboard pulls off. That's not a hinged connection. It's not a laptop. Yeah. The Surface Pro is a tablet.
And Bob is jumping to James' defense, saying that James is a genius.
I've never had anybody defend my honor before like this. Thank you, Bob.
Do you want us all to go and leave you two with the room, man?
Damsel in distress.
Bob sat one frigging Udemy course with James, and he's suddenly got an absolute crush on him.
Hey, that's all it takes.
It's a bromance.
I don't think Bob's bought that. I know Martin has. Thank you, Martin.
Smooth, calming voice, and that's it.
James,
Bob's got wood.
I just clicked on the Skillshare one, James, so I will be critiquing your bad audio on Skillshare very shortly.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Doc. Come on. Let's get this news out.
Well,
there's
a few other people have done this now in the chat room and mentioned this, and I can't not mention it now because it is relevant. A story out yesterday, Intel. Now, that we've had, you know, Apple are going to go to ARM chips. We've had that story for 2 years, perhaps, maybe more, where they're going to stop using the Intel chips, and they're going to go over to the chips that they've been paying to make for the iPads and that kind of stuff, because they're really benchmarking well and all that shazam. But the interesting thing here is that Intel appears to be not budgeting for Apple to be taking its chips in 2020. And that, I think that's huge, because that really does say that the writing's on the wall. if they're not taking the budget for it.
Yeah, that tells me that the next Mac that I buy is going to have an ARM processor.
And how do you feel about that, Jeff? I'm not trying to be your therapist or anything, but...
Well, I was very, very concerned about the possibility of an ARM-based Mac when the rumors really started to pick up, because I really didn't believe that the big software players would come along with Apple this time. I mean, they did it when we did the switch to PowerPC. They did it again when we did the switch to Intel. Excuse me. But then expecting Microsoft and Adobe to follow along to an ARM processor, where they have to do so much to retool their apps to make them work properly.
But kind of Adobe have already done a lot of the work, haven't they? I mean, Adobe have really thrown their eggs in the basket with iPad.
And Microsoft as well. Well,
when Adobe said that they're making Photoshop for the iPad and that they want it to be full-on Photoshop, when they said that, I was like, okay, we're fine going to ARM, because my big concern has just been wiped away. If Adobe is building this iPad version of Photoshop, then what they're really doing is testing their ARM coding chops to make sure that when the ARM Mac ships, they already have Creative Cloud, the Creative Suite apps, ready to go. So if Adobe's on board, then it's okay. It'll be a little scary because change into something unknown like this, you know, we don't know what could go wrong, but knowing that the big players have already committed, that makes the transition okay.
I think it's just something different about the way they're made, because like I think they started talking about Daimios or Demios or whatever the heck you call that thing back in August, and you also realize that a lot of the laptops here, there's HP has a Snapdragon, Asus has a Snapdragon. There's a bunch of already PC manufacturers, somebody blurted it out, that are making ARM processors. But the big key to them is that their battery life is ridiculous. So with Apple always trying to push the envelope on battery, you know, it kind of makes sense. And then are they going to get it made by TSMC, or are they going to make it themselves? Like, who's going to make their little ARM? But yeah, I mean, these things are growing. And oh yeah, a lot of the electric cars are running on ARM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a big issue for Apple to make a couple of million ARM chips a year. I mean, that's like a weekend job for one of their ARM factories, because they're creating them for everything else.
Yeah.
Do you guys see a thing where you end up with multiple, okay, like say the Bionic 12, right? Couldn't a computer with like three or four of those in it just be ridiculously powerful? Because the iPad Pro, the new model, man, that thing is ridiculously powerful. Like, do we see a thing where you start combining multiple those in a notebook form factor to get that, you know, sort of mid-level desktop performance in a notebook out of something super mad light?
See, I think there's a couple of comments that have been made here about Ryzen in the chat room, and they're talking about temperature running with it and that kind of stuff, which is why you wouldn't do Ryzen. But my thought would be that actually one of the bonuses of going to the ARM chip is the fact that Apple's really conquered the performance versus temperature issue with it, haven't they? Because your iPads, yeah, they get warm, but they're not bacon oven, you know, or fry an egg hot like the Intel chips can be. So they've got that temperature issue resolved straight away. That would be a real bonus to kick straight into it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with CPUs is the lower the temperature is in general that they run on, or like at a certain frequency, the higher you can actually either increase frequency or just overclock them. So the more power you can actually get out of them, because like at least for most devices, thermal issues are the big limiting factor nowadays. Thermal and then power draw at some point. Like how much power can you actually get out of the battery or the line?
Yeah, but I mean the iOS stuff is benchmarking brilliantly, isn't it? I mean, is it the current 12 Pro is benchmarked past the Air? And I'm going to say past the 13-inch MacBook, but I think I might be talking up my arse there.
No, I think 13-inch MacBook 2, not the MacBook Pros.
Yeah, no.
So the MacBook Pros are slightly better, not much, but slightly better from what I remember. But yeah, I mean,
that is on a
device that has quite severe limitations on battery life and also on like general like just heat.
Mm.
So just increase that, and yeah, it's not a linear thing. But I'm pretty sure you can get more power out of it if you have more cores and a bigger battery and like a cooling an actual cooling system, which the MacBook Pros still have.
I'm just
Ewan.
Yeah, go on,
man. I just did a quick Google search for the 12.9-inch iPad Pro benchmarks,
right?
And found an article on 9to5 Mac. Geekbench scores for the new iPad Pro. It rivals the 2018 MacBook Pro for performance.
Wow,
the MacBook Pro, Christ. Okay,
yeah, it's impressive.
That's crazy.
That is,
yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I can believe it. There's an app out there called LumaFusion, which is a great little video editor. Runs on the iPad Pro, and I swear, I prefer doing video editing on the iPad Pro anymore, because it just seems to render everything so quickly. And when I finally get to the point that I've got this video nicely edited, I want to crank it out to YouTube or just a local file, whatever, really does a fantastic job. So I can believe that it's faster than your run-of-the-mill MacBook Pro there.
I suppose that means, since I have a 2016 Touch Bar MacBook Pro, my new 12.9-inch iPad Pro is actually more powerful than my laptop.
Have Apple dropped the Touch Bar yet?
No.
Soon, and they're not gonna.
The sooner that day comes, the better.
I know, it's just the worst thing. I've always said this about the Touch Bar. If you don't know an app very well, I've said this many times on this show, I know I have, but if you don't know Final Cut very well, if you don't know how to use Photos app very well or Keynote, it's actually going to hold your hand and actually show you things very quickly and options that you didn't know you probably had available. So in that way, because we are good at using Macs in general, us guys in this room right now, hopefully, you know, we do find it more an inconvenience, and the way it's positioned as well above the keyboard doesn't make it a great experience to use. But if you are new to Mac, I think it's a great thing. I think it's a really good idea.
And I think it depends on the app, and there is definitely a lot that should be improved on it, but I'm using it more and more in certain apps. I mean, 1Password is a good example. Like, to unlock it, if it just shows you the lock screen, instead of using the mouse to hit the Touch ID button, I just hit the Touch ID button on the Touch Bar and then like move the finger over and unlock the unlock 1Password. Just one example. Like, I'm actually starting to use it more and more, and I'm starting to enjoy it more and more. It just depends on the app, or the app has actually figured out how to use it properly. And I think Apple is also not very good at that.
The only place I really use it is there's, you know, the algorithm app DJ Pro, and mm-hmm. I use it for doing weddings or events and stuff like that. It's really, really good for jumping to a, you know, key point in a song, or, you know, you just need to pull out a phrase or a verse for, you know, somebody's walk up or a toast or whatever. And so the application guys are getting better at making it function. The computer, like, yeah, I mean, most time I ignore it, but in that app, it's amazing.
Yeah. That's if you want to know any of the links that we've got, then go to britishchatnetwork.com/chat. And if you use the calendar there to navigate to the 22nd of February, then you'll see all the links that we've been putting in there for some of the stories. Jeff's link for the 9to5 Mac thing, and James has also put a helpful link in for LumaFusion as well. Windrider is referencing the Mac Tracker app, and he's showing the Geekbench scores. He's showing the benchmark scores for the 12.9 iPad Pro as in line with the top-end 5K iMac, which
I doubt that.
I do find that hard to believe, but he's typed it, so He's a source.
That's a thing with benchmarks, though, isn't it? You know, they are just testing a raw speed of something. When you're dealing with something like I do with Motion and plugins, or Final Cut with plugins, they're going to vary greatly. I mean, I downloaded the template for Final Cut this week, and it has made my computer feel like it's 10 years old. I don't know what the problem is with this blooming plugin that I put in, but it has made my computer feel, honestly, I thought my MacBook Pro 2018 is brilliant, but I've added probably three layers of video and it is grinding, and I mean grinding. I'm not sure there's a Final Cut 10 update available to me, but it's I really felt like, oh god, my computer feels old. Never had that in a long time.
There's a Final Cut 10 update from a week ago, but it's probably something to do with the plugin, because Final Cut Pro 10 is ridiculously fast on a 5K iMac. Like, and your machine and my machine are pretty much identical. It's just a unfolded MacBook Pro with a bigger screen. So it's probably something to do with some weird plugin you're running. What's the plugin?
It's a template, actually. It's a slideshow template, which, to be fair, you know, when somebody shows you a great template and you go, god, that's brilliant, and then you download it and then you install it and then suddenly you look at this, well, that looks like nothing what you showed me. You know, in fact, what you showed me is something that I could have built myself. And then when you read the small print, it says other templates have been used to create this effect. Jesus Christ. Yeah. We've used Lightning's plugin. We've used the camera shake plugin. We've used this plugin. So what you bought is nothing like the template that has been shown to you as a demo video. It's actually, it's rubbish, isn't it?
Windrider also says that the 15-inch MacBook Pro has significantly higher benchmarks than the 5K iMac. That's got to be the original 5K iMac, maybe. I don't know. But
well, the RAM's going to be faster, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the other thing, I mean, to your point, James, is I have had issues with, especially with Mojave and RAM. Like, there are apps that everything worked fine before the upgrade. And now I'm like running into a lot of beach balls because the machine's just running out of RAM. And I don't know what it is, but it must be something Apple did because the apps haven't changed. So it's, I mean, and I actually reinstalled my Mac to see whether that fixed it. And it did to some extent, but it's still there. Like, I think it's at the point where the system is under heavy, like even or like somewhat lighter RAM load than normal, it just grinds to a halt. And it's Apple's apps that grind to a halt. I mean, for example, I know Firefox works just fine, but Safari doesn't work anymore.
Windrider says that he's talking current.
They want you to buy a new Mac.
Yeah, it's all
that's probably it. Yes,
it really is.
This is 2017, so yes.
Apple shot Lee Harvey Oswald.
Rosie Knoll.
Last story then. Gartner is saying that iPhone sales suffered the worst quarterly decline for the last 3 years in 2018 holiday period. Apple sold 64 million units, down from 73 million units, so down 9 million units from where they were last year. And what's worried, the market has gone up by a million units, but what's interesting is that Apple's lost its market share, down from 17.9% down to 15.8%.
I wonder how much of this is from cell service providers saying this year or this time around that they weren't going to let people upgrade from their current iPhone to the new model when it came out, and instead were saying, hey, you know, you have to pay a few hundred dollars to get back in sync. And people decided, yeah, you know what? No, my current iPhone is good enough. It's I'm in that boat, and so anecdotally, I know several other people that were ready to buy an iPhone XS or XS Max, and then ended up not doing it because our cell service providers were all saying, yeah, you need to pay another $300, $500, whatever, to get back on our cycle instead of Apple's cycle.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as
Apple has always been providers, though. I mean, from the day one, until they make their own, you know, provision to be their own service, they will always be stuck looking bad because of stuff that the other companies do. That said, this was probably the worst phone cycle upgrade since they started, and it was bound to happen. We had an 11-year run before it went sideways, and instead of giving them credit for 11 years of solid performance, everybody could not wait for them to take a crap.
Doc, you've nailed it, mate. You've nailed it.
Is this a war
remember,
between?
Apple is not has not released their quarter for official sales numbers, so you don't know how many iPhones they've actually sold.
Anecdotally, though, you've got to see those figures as at least.
No, the writing's on the wall. Yeah. I mean, the writing's on the wall.
It definitely is.
Is that a cell provider versus Apple war then over upgrade cycles? That's developing.
I don't know about war because for them it's one. It's their most money making thing, but they have been making it hard since 2007. Like, it's the weirdest thing ever. Like, for something that makes them so much money, they have bent over backwards to make it hard literally since 2007. And I think a lot of it has to do with, now this is Apple's fault to some extent, maybe not. Anyone you know that works retail, all the providers provide the salespeople with spiffs for selling your LGs and your Motorolas and all that other stuff. Apple never has spiffs. So when you walk into almost any carrier store and you don't know anything, they will always try to push you towards one of those spiff-oriented phones because they get $50 for selling one. You know, I have a friend of mine that works at Sprint. He gets paid minimum wage, but the kid clocks like $5,000 a month because of all of the incentives. He gets $25 for every new account. He gets $75 for selling a shitty LG phone. You know, and so it adds up. And so, I mean, the kid's rolling around in a M3 working at the Sprint store because the spiffs are that incredible. So when I found this out, because he was like, dude, you should get in because you can sell ice to an Eskimo. I was like, no, because I will make people buy phones that are good for them, not what's good for me.
Well, don't you too, honestly.
I understand Apple on that one. It's a game that nobody can win because, like, I mean, someone else is going to offer more money. Like, if you get into that game, then you've already lost it.
Yeah, and they've never done spiffs ever, so I don't blame them. They don't have to. Their product is great.
Yeah.
Well, it was great.
Oh, and I'll say what I said last time about this whole thing about the amount of phones being sold. You know, the iPhone X was such a great phone that people are just so happy with it. The camera's great. It feels luxury item. It costs, you know, it costs us the best part of, you know, £1,200. That's a huge amount of money. People aren't going to let that go, you know, year on year. They're happy to keep hold of it in their pocket because it is such a great phone, which is why, again, I'll repeat myself, but it's the first time I've actually not upgraded my phone in probably the 10, 11 years of working for Apple and obviously being a punter, you know, somebody from the outside looking in. I know I've not changed my phone because it is such a great device.
Yeah, and
I have to duck out gracefully.
Apple.
Do you want to do your cool thing, Jeff? Just early.
Bye, Jeff.
Oh, sure. Okay. I'll do my cool thing. Real quick. Let me drop a link.
Get Jeff's cool thing, and then he can, because he's got a meeting he's got to go to. So,
but I will be back for the big show this afternoon or this evening for you guys.
What's your
meeting in a dark alley?
What's your cool thing then, Jeff?
My cool thing is a new robot that Sphero just announced. And it's called the Sphero RVR. And so it's a little four-wheel robot instead of a sphere like they've typically done. And it's a robot that's designed so that other companies can make add-ons for it. So you can expand this robot with more than just what Sphero is envisioning, and then of course you can program it with your iPhone, your iPad, or whatever you want to program it with, and this thing just looks really cool. It's $200
Horrific, man.
For one of these, and It's on Kickstarter right now. This is the one thing I don't like about Sphero product launches, because they're a big enough company now. They shouldn't be doing their new product launches on Kickstarter anymore.
Well said, mate. Well said. Because they don't forget they've had the tie-up with Star Wars over the BB-8 stuff, haven't they? Which it must have netted them millions.
Huge amount of money.
And then they made the R2-D2 and they made another Star Wars droid robot. But still, this is a really cool robot platform that you can do so much with, and it's pretty cool. I'm thinking about getting one, even though
the add-ons are topical.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
they?
Yeah. It's not like I need one of these, but just the fact that you can do so much with it, it just makes it really cool. So yeah, I'm thinking about getting one.
Muller's put, this isn't the Sphero you're looking for. Very good, mate.
Very good.
Yeah, I think you're gonna find, though, aren't you, that they're gonna say, oh no, we didn't make any money out of the Star Wars tie-up because Lucas took 98% and JJ Abrams took another 2% and Disney took another 50%, and we were 250% out of pocket before we knew it. you know they're gonna say that, don't you?
You know. Yeah, probably.
Good company, Jeff. Where can people get a hold of you, mate?
How about over at smilesoftware.com or textexpander.com? And on Twitter, Instagram, I am Jay Gamut. I'm easy to find. Just Google me.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Have a good meeting, and we'll see you later on for the
big Cheers, show. Jeff.
Yep, bye, see Jeff. You guys later.
Cheers, mate.
Bye now.
This show and all the rest is brought to you by TSO Host. We are supported by them. They pick up all our bandwidth, which is significant. We've got a good 20,000 people listening to this every week. So please support them. Now, if you want to buy stuff for hosting, that's fine. Go to tsohost.com and buy your stuff, and then use the offer code BTN20 and you'll get 20% off all your hosting services. Thank you for them. That's brilliant. Really kind of them. But actually, what they want from us more than anything is brand recognition. So they would like you to go out onto your social media and say, thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. And quite a few people have done that this week. It's brilliant. We've had some feedback that they're really, really chuffed with that. So please, everyone, whatever you're doing, just go straight onto your social media and say, thanks for supporting at British Tech at TSO Host. They're brilliant. We would be lost without them. They stepped in this year when we lost our servers. Yep. And we'd be stuffed. We couldn't afford the bandwidth. We simply can't buy it on the stuff that we do. And also, thanks to Wirecast, they give us the piece of software that runs all the stuff behind me and is absolutely brilliant. We really adore that. It's superb. And I'm getting better at using it now, which is helping an awful lot as well. So thanks to them. And thanks also to Hoya for giving me my show glasses. The ones I'm wearing here, the grey ones, they've sponsored us with those. And if you'd like to know about Uniku, which is the glasses that I've got on, then go to hoya.co.uk or send an email, better still, to podcast@hoya.co.uk, and you'll get Mark on the end of that line, and he will give you the local red carpet treatment wherever you live in the UK and tell you your nearest Uniku machine and get you measured and all that. And also, if you're near an optician's, walk past and go, excuse me, do you do Hoya lenses? And if they go, no, say, that's a shame, and carry on walking. Yeah. It's time for the cool thing. Starting us off, Doc, what is your cool thing, mate?
All right. So I have mentioned this in the past. I convinced Ewan to buy one, but I know that some people looked at it like it's a little expensive and they don't need so many buttons. So Elgato, recently purchased by Corsair, and I'm going to have a hard time switching the name to Corsair, so I will continue to call them Elgato, as I have for the last 15 years, has created a Stream Deck Mini. So if you aren't the type of person to want to buy the one like I have with all of these buttons on it, they now have a small version that only comes with 6 buttons, and it still does kind of the sort of the same thing. But wait, you know, like in an infomercial, but wait. There's more. Recently released during my illness, Stream Deck has developed and released a SDK. So what does that mean? If you are Patrice or slightly Cody or programmer type, You can use JavaScript, C++, or Objective-C, and you can make these buttons work anywhere, not just in Wirecast or OBS or things like that. You can adjust it to work in your app of choice. So let's say you got your Objective-C game on, and you Apple Mail person, you can actually go in and using, and they got instructions, using the plugin folder for Apple Mail, you can make Apple Mail buttons for the Stream Deck. So what's cool is, like, you're in there and you got, okay, this is spam from Steve, send that away, block this guy, you know, reply to that guy just by tapping the buttons real quick rather than, you know, doing what James said and learning all of these keyboard shortcuts. So it's only getting better. It's worth the $80 for the small one or the $150 for the big one. It comes in really handy. I've made some buttons for my Photoshop and Illustrator, mostly to do with zooming and recalling views. And it's just incredible. Like, it basically can act as a sort of keyboard macro type thing. So I still want to just throw nothing but love at Stream Deck. I know Ewan, I don't think he's regretted me making him spend $150.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. It's the best money I've spent this year almost.
I should get one.
Yeah, it's crazy. These guys are doing such good things, like that light. I'm getting my lights in like a week.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, yeah. So I can't wait to, you know, have those on the show, like, when I get back from Portland. So, yeah, I mean, these guys are just coming up with incredible stuff since they got the money from Corsair. And they're just a company to watch. I mean, they've been around forever from the Turbo ASOT 264, which just, you know, encoded your videos way faster. They come out with a 4K stick for, you know, if I can take my Sony camera now, and so the feed that you're looking at right now, imagine this feed with more of my wrinkles because I'm upgrading to the 4K stick.
Yeah, bit, like, actually, your feed's a bit shit at the minute, mate. Sorry.
I was going to say, yeah, it's breaking up.
Yeah, that's we have been inundated with some ill weather, so that's what do you call that? What do you call those people that you pay every month to give you shitty service? The provider. But
BT.
You call that?
Yeah, British Telecom, yeah.
Yeah, I was just called Spectrum here, but yeah, they're fixing it. They're outside right now.
Cool. Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. Patrice, what have you got for us?
So my pick is something more on the, like, nerdier developer type side, or anybody who is interested in that.
How does this not cut across what TSO hosts do?
I forgot about that. I'm really sorry.
Okay, so I'd pick another cool thing because I'm going to have to come back to you because I can't post this.
I really forgot about that. Sorry.
Yeah, don't do it again.
Yeah.
No. It was last second.
That's why you should look at your phone when I'm texting you.
Okay, let's redo that. I have another thing.
All right, hang on. We need to get an edit point. We need to get an edit point. Just hang on a sec.
Okay. I was trying.
What screen were we on before we went to Patrice? We were on Doc, weren't we?
Doc, yeah.
Doc, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So Patrice. Right. So Patrice, what have you got for us as a cool thing?
My cool thing today is Audio Hijack from Rogue Amoeba. It is a really, really, really good audio tool. You can basically, it's easy to use, which I really like. You can drag and drop basically blocks, audio blocks, and say, these are my microphones. I have an equalizer doing some denoising, maybe a peak limiter, whatever. And you just drag and drop blocks in a chain, and then you have an output device somewhere or multiple output devices, like a recorder and your monitor and Skype and whatever else you want to have. And it's so easy to use and is so powerful. It can do so many things with it that you will probably spend, like, I don't know, $1,000 or whatever on actually hardware if you want to do that in hardware. It's not super cheap. I think the whole package with all their apps was $130, and I just spent it. I was like, all their apps are great. I'm just going to buy all of them. But I think the individual one is, I'm going to say $70, $70. But it's well worth it. If you do anything in audio podcasting, I use it actually for my meetings. It's just great. So Audio Hijack. Big thumbs up.
Thanks, Patrice. Wanker.
What?
Thank you. I absolutely love you. Even Steve had a laugh at that, and Steve's like, like 70.
Steve's like 70. Jesus Christ. Steve, what have you got for us, man?
Well, this week I've got this little guy, which is the Loom Cube Air VC, and VC stands for video conferencing. It's basically the Loom Cube Air, which is this little guy right here. It's a video light, a very bright video light, as you can see, and it gets even brighter, and it flashes. It could do all sorts of fun things. But what makes this the VC version is this little suction mount that they put on here. And this can go on the back of an iPad Pro. It can go on the back of a something like an iPhone. It can go on the back of an iMac. It can go pretty much on anything. This is one of the stickiest suction cup mounts I think I've ever seen. They're using some sort of rubber on here that is just incredibly sticky. And then you add one of these lever, or I don't know, perhaps you guys pronounce it lever, actuated suction cups, and it's absolutely wonderful. It's adjustable in many directions. Actually uses the little GoPro mount on here, so, but very, very cool. The normal Loom Cube Air runs about $70. I think this kit runs $80, so you're actually spending like $10 for this little giddy. If you don't have one of the Loom Cubes or Loom Cube Air, it's a wonderful field light. Definitely fills things in. You get a couple of diffusers that come along with it. This one's for, you know, if you get in under really cool lights, this will add a little bit of warmth to it, or you've got a regular white diffuser. I would have put this in the chat room, but every time I try logging in today, it's telling me I'm banned from the chat room.
Which naughty, is naughty.
Yeah. No. I don't know what I did, but
you didn't do anything. I don't know why you're banned.
What's that?
I don't know. You're not banned.
It's showing me as banned. I'll send you screenshots or something here. But anyway, it's at LoomCube, LoomCube.com. Very cool little unit. I really, really like it.
Excellent, mate. James, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, all I've got to say is, aha! And what I mean by that is, have you ever watched a video online and thought, I wonder what that is, but don't want to download Patrice's Choice? Well, this is a great little it's a Chrome extension. Basically, what does it? Puts a little magnifying glass in your toolbar. So if you actually play a piece of music, it will automatically identify it just by listening to your browser, which I think is pretty cool. I watch and listen to lots of music for ideas and things for building these little 3D projects I work with. And I love it when I find a piece of music, but I have to spend 10 minutes trying to work out where it is and how we can get a hold of it. So this is a great little plugin. It's just by a company called aha-music.com if you're listening on the radio. So aha, as you'd expect, aha-music.com. But also on my travels, I found a great little company. But
go on, you don't get two, just bring one.
Well, it's called splice.com, and basically all it is a sample library. It looks pretty cool. I'm about to sign up for the little sort of free trial they've got going on. But splice.com, if you're into music, it's a little good a good thing to probably jump onto. Some good sounds. I'm loving it.
Excellent.
Thank you
very much. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
I just want to say, James, I was having a hard time not singing Take On Me.
Tell me about it, Doc.
Sorry.
Tell me
about it. You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK, on the Solid Pod at solid.fm, and on my YouTube channel, which is just YouTube/DocRock.
And we're cutting him some slack because he's podcasting in his second language. Patrice, where are you?
Well, and I'm also moving this week. I am, like, everything I do is on the patrice.com.
Where are you moving to? Big apartment? Big house?
A house. Like a house. Like up the, well, about 15 miles up the street. So,
that's okay.
Which is
that's,
nothing.
Jesus, that's a long street.
Yeah, well, we have really long streets that go all the way up from up north all the way down to north. So, yes.
Okay. All right. Good man.
It takes you 2 hours to do that trip. So
on the same road. Jeez.
Well, from all the way up north to down south, yeah, probably.
Where would you be, Mr. Sandy? Band Sandy.
I would be at Band Steve Sandy. No, appleworld.today. And you can also find me on Twitter and the Facebook as Stephen Sandy, Steven Sandy.
I've gone on the chat room, and because like normally I'm supposed to be able to see the people that are banned or people that I've kicked, and there's nothing there, so it's not us that's doing it. It must be Geekshed that have banned you.
Yep. Oh, Geekshed.
In which case, you got real problems.
Well, yeah, and I can't figure it out because I'm usually not on there, and I usually don't put much on, so go figure.
That's why you're not putting much on. Put some pants on, damn it.
Get out there and...
The blacklist, thegeekshed.net/bans/ unmentionable URL in the chat room, and Steve Sandy is top of that list from what I can see. No, I'm lying, I haven't clicked it, but Mr. Rickards, where would you be?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at James Rickards, all one word, RICKARDS. And of course, all my courses available on udemy.com. Just search James Rickards on udemy.com to learn more about your Mac and maybe some better graphics at the same time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on at British Tech. You can also follow my company at 12 Space Media on Instagram. And I think we've got a channel on Instagram for British Tech. I don't know if we use it very much. The Bash is coming up. It's the 27th of July. Tickets are going to go on sale at the end of the month, or 1st of March. We need 60 full paying adults at it to break even. So please make sure that you do come this year. We've pushed it back in the month so that there's plenty of time for everyone. 27th of March. It's a Saturday. We're going to do Game of Golf on the Friday. We're going to do curry on the Friday night. We're going to do the Bash on Saturday. And then it's breakfast at my place and barbecue on Sunday. Full weekend of fun and games and loads of stuff to do. 27th of July. We'll put the purchase tickets up a bit in a little while on the website when we can find someone who knows how to do it. we'll be back again with the Mac show next week at 4 p.m. And we'll be here with the big show at 8 p.m. tonight. If it's not on Friday, it's not happening. So don't forget, we're a Friday-only show now. Have a great weekend, and thank you for listening. Patrice, I can't believe you, Matt. I cannot believe you. Jesus.
It's still too early in the morning for me.
All that shit we went through, and you, of all people.
Yeah, and I remember...